Salam sejahtera, anda bersama Senada Huda dan ini Dialog Anak Muda. Kali ini kami nak bawa anda ke Cyberjaya. Kami kini berada di restoran Tiger and Prawn di Tamarind Square di Cyberjaya. Dan kalau sebelum ini kami bawakan perbincangan bersama dengan beberapa anak muda, kami sudah pun menyentuh tentang pelbagai topik mengenai pendidikan, mengenai politik, mengenai dengan isu gaji dan isu mencari pekerjaan. Tapi kali ini kami nak memberi tumpuan kepada usahawan muda. Apa cabaran yang mereka perlu lalui dan bagaimana untuk kita memudahkan proses ini untuk usahawan-usahawan muda yang lain. Dan bersama saya ketika ini untuk jam ini dalam Dialog Anak Muda adalah 6 anak muda yang telah pun membangunkan bisnes dan PKS masing-masing. Dan saya nak perkenalkan tetamu atau panelis kita untuk jam ini. Bersama saya ketika ini Darshan Ganesan yang merupakan pengasas Ace of Fates. Dan bagi anda yang mungkin tak kenal Ace of Fates ataupun pelbagai lagi bisnes-bisnes lain yang telah pun dimulakan oleh Darshan, mungkin anda kenal ataupun pernah nampak Darshan bermain bola sepak secara profesional sebelum ini bersama dengan Selangor FA, bersama pasukan PKNS dan juga Maifa FC. Tapi mungkin Darshan dah puas main bola sepak. Selepas itu, Darshan mulakan beberapa bisnes. Mungkin Darshan boleh kongsikan sikit apa antara bisnes-bisnes yang Darshan dah tubuhkan.
Okay. Terima kasih. So, saya nama saya Darshan, owner of Ace of Fates. Saya ada pelbagai bisnes yang saya sudah venture dalam 3 tahun ni. During the MCO, saya membuka satu bakery, Dash KL Bakes. Dan lagi satu adalah Ace of Fates Hair Salon. Dan selain itu, saya ada satu tailor shop dengan satu travel agency.
Okay, yes. Begitu banyak variety yang kita nak tahu.
Variety yang lain-lain.
Tips-tips pengalaman yang kita nak dengarkan daripada Darshan. Tapi kita juga nak perkenalkan tetamu kita yang lain. Sebelah Darshan, kita ada Eric Lim yang merupakan pengasas dan CEO Jom Earn Global Sendian Berhad. Dan Eric, Jom Earn Global ini merupakan platform dalam talian untuk bantu usahawan-usahawan PKS lain untuk dapatkan ataupun mendapat geran pendanaan subsidi. Boleh Eric ceritakan sedikit mengenai dengan Jom Earn Global ini?
Betul. Terima kasih. Jom Earn Global, we focus helping SMEs to get government grants and subsidies. So our aim is to, you hear Jom Earn Global, means we hope that we can help the SMEs to build their business and grow their business, not only domestically but globally.
Thank you Eric. Dan sebelah Eric bersama saya juga untuk Dialog Anak Muda jam ini, Farid Aidi yang merupakan ahli Parlimen Belia Malaysia dan juga usahawan PKS datang all the way dari Ipoh. Terima kasih Farid. Boleh ceritakan sikit tentang perusahaan PKS Farid?
Okay, perusahaan PKS sebenarnya sebelum yang saya start yang sekarang iaitu Cucu Udang Royal ni, saya ada buat 2-3 bisnes yang lain jugalah. Cuma itulah, benda yang pertama tak semestinya menjadi. So try and error kali kedua dan ini yang ketiga sebenarnya. So untuk masa ni masih lagi bertapak di Ipoh dan insya-Allah ingin melebarkan sayap ke Selangor dan juga Kuala Lumpur lah.
Menarik. Dan juga bersama kita ketika ini Rubabati Raja yang merupakan pengasas Rubisha Confinement Care. Thank you for joining us, Rubisha or Rubabati. Rubisha is actually one of the first ever services to provide confinement care professionally. Can you tell us a little bit about Rubisha?
Yeah, sure. First of all, thank you for having me here today, and it's a pleasure for us as well. Okay, for the confinement center, I would proudly say that I was one of the youngest Indian confinement carer in Malaysia when I was started in 2017 back, where I was 27 years old after giving birth to my daughter. My daughter was around 3 months old. You know, that time I'm still breastfeeding, so it was something worth to start with. Another mother, so a mother understand another mother, so where the Rubisha was bloom.
Dan sebelah Rubisha juga bersama kita hari ini Aizat Long yang merupakan CEO dan pengasas Bro Tani yang dimulakan pada 2020. Aizat, boleh kongsikan sedikit mengenai Bro Tani?
Okay, I founded the company time the first lockdown, right after I finished my studies. And the reason I start with agriculture is because I saw a big potential, ada a big food shortage. So after a while, bila dah in the agriculture punya sector, I slowly start to venture into juice punya industry, which is beverage industry. And then now we are actually opening our first juice bar this Saturday on the 28th, and we will be selling smoothies. And at the same time, we still maintain the agriculture punya side, so we have the whole streamline.
Okey, terima kasih Aizat. Dan akhir sekali juga bersama kita hari ini Muhammad Naim yang merupakan usahawan rendang Tok Yop.
Ya, saya.
Daripada nama tu saya dah tahulah Naim jual rendang, tapi ya, boleh kongsikan sikit mengenai dengan rendang Tok Yoke.
Okey, rendang Tok Yoke ni adalah nama brand rendang Tok Yoke. Kali dikenali untuk rendang Tok ni dikenali signature makanan untuk negeri Perak.
Ya.
So kita dah tahu dah kalau negeri Perak ni terkenal dengan rendang Tok lah. So asalnya rendang Tok ni daripada kami punya family hampir ke 10 tahun dah kami bisnes ni. So parents saya ni meniaga macam biasa lah. Pasar malam, arena apa semua. So bila sampai dekat anak beranak ni kami meniaga untuk ikutkan situasi zaman sekarang ni lah. Dengan konteks masa, dengan cuba cari kaedah ejen, supply ke luar negara, supply dekat Petronas dan macam-macam lagi lah. Kita ada collab dengan, baru-baru ni kita ada collab dengan Roshamno akan menjadi duta untuk produk rendang Tok Yoke pada tahun ni. Untuk tahun ni lah.
Okey, begitu banyak variety yang kita ada hari ini. Kita ada F&B, kita ada service industry, kita ada perkhidmatan, kita juga ada platform dalam talian. Banyak yang kita nak tahu dan kita nak share hari ini. Tapi pertama sekali saya kira kita nak tahu kenapa sebenarnya anak-anak muda ni pertama sekali ambil keputusan, that leap of faith untuk venture dalam bisnes. Mungkin Dashan boleh kongsikan dulu, why did you decide to go into business? Lagi-lagi you start with a professional football background, suddenly you start a barbershop, you start selling cookies. So kenapa sebenarnya you start dengan business?
So my inspiration will always be my mom. So she has taught me to always work hard. She's always taught me to make sure you give the best service in any sector it's supposed to be. So playing football, I always make sure that I give my best and I get the best back. Make sure I get all the recognition properly. So I related that into the business. So, you know, when I bring it to the business, I have to say that if I'm going to deliver something, I have to deliver the best way and the best quality possible. And that's how I went into every other business, just to make sure I can make someone, my service, get someone else happy.
Eric pula macam mana? Kenapa Eric decide untuk start business instead of you tengok dengan certain friends? Ada yang ambil keputusan untuk cari kerja dengan company, tapi Eric sendiri nak start your own company. Kenapa?
Correct. After I graduated, right, I went to a Spanish company and I helped to set up the companies. So I was one of the very first person in the company do all the setups. So after 2 years, after finish setting up, the boss is like, hey, you should start doing accounting, which I was from an accounting background. Then I was like, after doing all this setup system kan. So going back to the accounting, sitting on the fixed table, I'm like, hey, this is not what I want. And I found my strength during the setup is to set up systems, make things work automatically. That's why I founded the company. And I said, hey, I want to have my own company. I want to do all the setups. I want to solve more problems, not only internal problems, but the society problems. Then I went to see, hey, what can I do for the society? Then I found this grant and subsidy, which the government is giving a lot to the market, especially during the MCO. But many of them don't know where to look for the grants, don't know if there is any grants available in the market. So I compile all the information and I start sharing to friends. And they're like, hey, since you have all this information, why not I engage you to give me professional consultation about grants application? So that's how I started the business. And I love what I'm doing now, which is solving the society problems and also make changes every day in the company so that to make sure I can serve, like Dashan said, serve the company, serve the clients until they feel happy is our mission. So that's all from me.
Farid pula, macam mana? Kenapa Farid decide untuk start tubuhkan PKS, tubuhkan perusahaan sendiri?
Sebenarnya, kalau ikutkan saya punya background degree pun, saya memang degree in business. Tapi time tu masih lagi mindset nak makan gaji tu biasalah kan. Memang semua boleh kata kebanyakan mostly lepas saja graduate nak dapat kerja yang better nak makan gaji lah sebab senang tak payah fikir kan. Tapi kebetulan waktu tu PKP kan, sebab saya pun baru start business lepas pada PKP. Dan saya daripada Damansara saya balik ke Perak semula ke kampung halaman. Time tu peluang tak banyak. So saya yang terpaksa cipta peluang itu. So saya sendirilah yang start saya punya bisnes sendiri. Tapi itulah, time tu saving pun tak banyak. Itu saja duit yang ada, itu saja yang saya mampu buat. So saya buat starting dululah. Tapi waktu start tu memang dalam diri ni kita dah letaklah kan, one day kita akan sukses lah. Cuma alhamdulillah hari ni dapat berada di sini pun macam dulu ada angan-angan juga nak berada di sini kan. Alhamdulillah tercapai, walaupun banyak lagi jauh lagi perjalanan tu. Tapi setakat ni berjalan lancar juga, walaupun ada time kita down juga. Memang itu biasalah kan. Tapi sebenarnya pahit ni lagi banyak daripada manis. Itu sajalah yang saya boleh katakan.
Itu kita nak dengar lebih banyak, apa pahit dia, apa cabaran dia, bukan apa. Tapi sebab kita nak juga tahu apa pengalaman yang kita boleh belajar, apa pengajaran yang kita boleh ambil. At the same time, kita nak juga pastikan usahawan muda yang lain, kalau dia orang nak tubuhkan bisnes, tak perlu nak susah payah macam tu juga. Mungkin ada cara yang kita boleh bincangkan. Tapi saya kira bagi Darshan, Eric dan Farid dan saya kira bagi Aizat juga, korang start bisnes ketika PKP, masa MCO. Jadi bila ada krisis tu, ada peluang untuk tubuhkan something yang baru, something yang inovatif. Tapi bagi Rubisha, lain sikit. Rubisha boleh saya katakan antara yang veteran dalam kalangan kita ni dari 2017. Dan Rubisha tadi share sebenarnya idea untuk tubuhkan Rubisha Confinement Care ni sebenarnya datang daripada masalah Rubisha sendiri. Ketika ada anak pada 2017 itu, tak cukup mungkin supply untuk confinement care ketika itu. Tapi macam mana Rubisha dapatkan motivation itu untuk startkan bisnes sendiri dan untuk mungkin refuse ataupun tolak opportunity tengok orang lain makan gaji, kerja dekat company, tak perlu nak susah payah start bisnes sendiri. But Rubisha, you decided to do that anyway. Why?
Since I'm a rose among the thorns, so this will be an eye-opening for women who is watching out there especially. Okay, first of all, biasanya orang akan ingat orang yang buat bisnes ni mesti daripada family business ataupun mak kaya, bapak kaya, or anyone from their family is kaya. But from my thing was totally different. I was a lecturer. I was serving MPU subject in a medical college. MPU subject Bahasa Inggeris, because I did my major in English literature, which is nothing to do with confinement. So that time I was in trench when I was about 7 months pregnant. So you know, when we are pregnant and we are losing our job, it's not easy because you are going to give birth in 3 months time. So that's where I learned this confinement so that I can take care myself. That time I didn't had any idea of business because kita macam otak kita sudah corporate. So memang set untuk corporate, kena kerja. Even when we are growing up, our parents will be saying baca betul-betul lah, nanti dapat kerja yang baik. That's the thing, you know. So when I after the giving birth, I talked with one of my friend. I told her that it's not easy being homemaker after giving birth. That's where the idea was born. She, my friend, another woman, motivated me. She told me that why don't you just started a confinement? I say I just giving birth because you know there's a saying like orang baru bantang pantang tak boleh masuk air lah, cannot touch this lah, that lah. So okay, I took it as a challenge. Why don't I start to serve another mother. So that's how it's leading me until now.
Tapi agak panjang masa dia daripada 2017 sampai sekarang 2023. Surely there must be a lot of challenges for you. What's the biggest lesson that you learn?
Biggest lesson, health and time management. Being a business entrepreneur, you can be, semua orang ingat jadi boss goyang kaki, not at all. I'm honestly speaking, because being a boss of a company, it means you are chief of everything. That's how foundation, then only later part we can grow into another, like he said, now he have 3 staffs. So same thing, now I'm having about 10 staff, but it's not easy because you have to micromanage and macromanage each and everything because you are still in small scale. So that's the challenge, like time management, like Darshan just now said, 7:30. Even myself, sometimes I wake up 5 p.m. I pray and I started to do my confinement things because I need, like, confinement, they need to have their lunch before 12 p.m. or 1 p.m. So we have to start our daily lifestyle even before the sunrise. So that's how the time management plays a bigger role, and also the health, because when we are running after the business, mostly people will think that business kita nak buat, do it. No. Some of us will be running after the passion. Like they said, they want to serve until the client is fully satisfied. That's the only thing we'll be like playing. Masa tidur pun okay, nak reply this client. Okay, we have to settle thing. You know, because that's the thing. It's not all about the money actually. So the health, when we are thinking about another person, the main thing is affected is our health. Because
otak kita macam it's like running 24/7. And also yeah. macam tak ada masa nak makan on time. There's a lot of thing, you know. So when you are doing business, time management and healthy, because macam orang cakap dalam Tamil lah, but I cannot tell here. The foundation must be strong. Like myself, I'm a boss. I must be healthy. Then only I can serve the best to the staff, so that the staff can carry the vibes to the clients. Yeah.
Susah tu, banyak cabaran. Jadi bila kita dengar susahnya nak run your own business, Aizat tak takut dengar benda macam tu. Kenapa Aizat? Obviously kita tahu nak start business tu bukan senang, tapi Aizat buat juga in 2020 ketika PKP juga tu. Okay, kenapa
so
Aizat proceed juga?
Storyline pun is something similar with Rubisha. So the idea came about from my personal experience, I mean personal life. So growing up, I've always been active dengan sports. Most of the time, I had a competition or tournament. So if nak compete, you have to consume the right food to perform better. I'm sure Darshan knows more. And like, what you put in your body is like your engine. So I'm very particular about my health. And I feel like in Malaysia, people are not as aware. And I feel like kita kena be more health conscious. And that's why I start to do this business, Yang Juice, so that we can offer Malaysians a healthier option in terms of beverage. And since day one, I already know I takkan kerja 9-to-5. It's just in my mind, I don't know why, but since day one. Instead, now I kerja 24 jam.
Memang betul, eh? Semua bekerja 24 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
24
hours. Nak input sama juga?
Macam saya, memang sukakan cabaran lah. Kali katakan makan gaji. Sebelum ni, saya memang makan gaji. Lepas saya grad diploma berusur 21 tahun, saya memang kerja bersama syarikat UAM Agenta Profit Berhad selama 6 tahun sampai berumur 26 tahun lah. Tapi dalam masa saya bekerja tu, saya pun berbisnes. Bisnes yang saya sebuah hari sini, rendang tok ni kan. Tapi bila fikir balik, kita kerja sehari lebih daripada bisnes, tapi pendapatan bisnes ni sekejap je. Kita ambil sehari bisnes dalam 3-4 jam. Tapi boleh dapat emang yang banyak lagi daripada makan gaji. Walaupun dulu sebelum saya makan gaji, dalam 3,000-5,000 kan. Tapi lepas saya berhenti kerja tahun lepas lah, saya dah decide untuk fokus bisnes ni. Sebab apa? Saya boleh terima cabaran, saya boleh hadapi cabaran yang untuk akan datang ni lah. Sebab saya boleh hadapi macam mana nak susun strategi apa semua. Sebab kalau kita tak berhenti kerja pun, kita dah kena fikir 3 tahun akan datang. Dekat mana bisnes kita? Bukannya kena fikir setahun akan datang. Sebab dalam masa setahun tu singkat je bagi saya. Tapi bila kita fikir untuk 3 tahun akan datang, okay, baru kita dapat step macam mana untuk perjalanan bisnes-bisnes ke mana akan berada nanti lah.
Jadi agak kerja lama pengalaman Naim kerja, makan gaji. Beza dengan sekarang ini ada bisnes sendiri. Apa yang bagi Naim paling beza? Selain daripada income, pendapatan yang Naim kata-kata tu memang rasa puas dia bezalah kan?
Betul.
Tapi apa perbezaan dia? Apa yang jadikan bisnes sendiri tu lagi berbaloi?
Lagi berbaloi, okeylah. Kalau katakan bisnes ni lagi berbaloi, memanglah. Sebab bisnes ni kita yang sendiri dirikan. Kalau kita makan gaji, ikutkan makan gaji, setengah orang makan gaji pun kita tak boleh salahkan orang makan gaji. Sebab bila dia orang makan gaji, mungkin dia tak nak ambil cabaran dalam bisnes ke, ataupun decide itu pilihan dia kan. Tapi bila saya dah cuburi bisnes ni, saya dah dapatlah dekat mana nanti bisnes ni untuk cabaran akan datang nanti. Maksudnya saya terpaksa berhenti kerja ni, yang paling impact sekali ialah pendapatan tetap dah tak ada dah. Tapi saya akan sesa berfikir 4 jam macam Rubisha cakap tadi. Macam mana? Bila dah berfikir 4 jam, kaedah yang akan datang, maksudnya okeylah, kita guna stokis, jual guna melalui agent, stokis, kita letak kat pasar raya. Dan untuk rendang tok ni kita tahu, kita dah ada pack untuk pergi ke luar negara. Maksudnya macam kita nak pergi umrah, travel ke haji kan. Selalunya untuk jemaah kan ada bawa pack rendang tok. So kami pun dah decide untuk buat retak pasal tu. So memang dah, sekarang ni memang dah berada di luar negara lah antara produk untuk jaga panjang kan. Cabaran, itulah cabaran yang...
Ya, memang banyak cabaran. Saya kira semua dah kongsikan sedikit ada cabaran dia tu. Macam Farid kata, pahit dia tu lagi banyak daripada manis dia. But Darshan, maybe you can share a little bit. What are some of the biggest lessons learned in setting up the various businesses that you have?
So I think for the various businesses that I've opened, I think one of the biggest issue is that we have friends, and all our friends want to go out and hang out, and sometimes we do not have that liberty to actually go out and spend time with our friends, sometimes even our families. So, but we are looking at a bigger goal is to provide the best service all the time. I think all of us can agree to that. We're always looking for ways that we can innovate so we don't have to do so much work, so we can go and hang out. So these are the kind of the challenges that we face most of the time. I mean, personally, I would say that I love playing football. Till today, I still play football. I wake up at 7:30 and 9 o'clock, I still have a game tonight. So I'll just make sure, I go for my football game, but I have to finish everything before I go for my game.
In a balance.
Yeah, so the goal is always, can I make it in time for football? That's the most important thing. So I always work strategically, following discipline so that I can have a good game of football.
I agree with Darshan and Ruby Shang, because they both mentioned like how important is time management. Yeah. So time management for me is very important, especially nowadays. I have a family to take care of. I have a 4-month-old baby. I have a still growing Munia company. And
baby,
a baby company, an MCO baby. So it's very, sometimes it's for us to arrange how to balance between, example, customer service and also our sales growth and also the cost. We want to provide the best customer service, but in the same time, we also want to reduce our cost. So how are we balancing that? It's one of the challenges for me. Are we spending a lot more in customer service, or we want to spend more on marketing first? Customer service, okay, like 80% enough. So for me, balancing these figures are important for me, from an accounting background especially. Looking at the numbers, right? Well, I want to give the best service, but the customer want to pay only like certain figure. Need to manage the expectation.
Yeah. Farid kata tadi banyak pahit daripada yang manis. Betul. Tu. Boleh kongsikan sikit daripada tempoh start business tu 2021 sampai sekarang ini. Apa antara cabaran paling besar?
Cabaran paling besar banyak sebenarnya, tapi saya tak highlight semua. Tapi antara salah satu ya, waktu saya start tu, kita memang kata degree kita business. Tapi itu teori saja kan. So practicality tu kita tak ada. So bila dah saya kebetulan rezeki lah masa tu kan. Waktu saya start tu 2-3 bulan tu kebetulan business saya niaga saya went viral. So ramai lah datang kan. So bila ramai yang datang, kita pun duit banyak. Tak pernah ada duit banyak. Tiba-tiba duit banyak, terkejut nak buat apa. That time saya waktu tu
lain macam cabaran dia. Sabar banyak dulu. Duit pun cabaran juga.
Okey. Sabar dulu. Okey. Waktu tu bila duit dah banyak, saya pergi showroom BMW, pergi showroom Mercedes nak beli kereta, okey. Tapi nasib baik. Okey. Okey. Waktu tu dah pergi, okey, bisnes tak sampai lagi 2 tahun. So tak boleh buat loan lah. Saya tak sampai 2 tahun lagi kan. Nasib baik tak beli, okey. So waktu tu PKP okeylah, bisnes kita yang tepi jalan ni memang okeylah, hari-hari sale ribu-ribu kan. Tapi bila government umum je boleh dine in makan dekat kedai, bisnes saya drop banyak jugaklah, daripada 1,000 lebih sehari ke 2-300 je sehari. Nasib baik saya tak ambil BMW . Kalau time tu saya dah beli BMW, dah post alhamdulillah. Anak muda kan. Kan. Waktu tu saya dah berangan-angan nak post depan BMW, alhamdulillah hasil kerja keras. Padahal tak sampai lagi berapa setahun pun tak sampai lagi kan. Tu kata nasib baik tak beli. Kalau saya beli time tu, bisnes saya drop. Waktu tu memang tak ada cash reserve. Memang agak down lah sebab kita ada pekerja yang nak dibayar gaji. Dan memang kita tak ambil gaji langsung. Berapa bulan ni? 3-4 bulan juga tak ambil gaji. So, untuk running business sajalah masa tu. Dan alhamdulillah lepas pada tu baru kita insaf sikit. So, masuk kelas-kelas pengurusan bisnes. Macam mana nak manage bisnes balik. Alhamdulillah lepas tu dia naik balik lah. So, bila sampai saat dia stagnan ya.
So itulah turun naiknya perniagaan ni dan antara cabaran dan temptation yang ada, terutamanya untuk usahawan muda ni. Tapi kita nak dengarkan juga cabaran-cabaran bagaimana pengalaman untuk Rubisha dan Aizat dan Naim juga. Tapi kita akan berjerat seketika. Banyak lagi yang kita kongsikan jam ini. Jangan ke mana-mana, kita akan kembali selepas ini. Bertemu kembali dalam Dialog Anak Muda. Kami masih lagi berada di Tiger and Prawn di Tamarind Square, Cyberjaya, dan saya masih lagi bersama dengan 6 usahawan anak muda. Masing-masing dah kongsikan cabaran pahit dan manisnya jalankan perniagaan, terutamanya ketika tempoh-tempoh yang mencabar beberapa tahun yang lepas. Tapi kita tahu we are not out of the woods yet. especially with 2023, ada penganalisis yang katakan berlakunya kemelesetan ekonomi, global recession dan sebagainya. Tentunya ini memberi lebih banyak cabaran. Tadi kita dah dengarkan sedikit. Mungkin Rubisha, you can share a little bit about some of the economic anxieties, the fears that we're feeling this year lepas pandemik COVID-19. Sekarang ini ada kemungkinan berlakunya kemelesetan dan sebagainya. Bagaimana Rubisha bersiap sedia untuk berdepan dengan cabaran ekonomi yang tak menentu? Sekarang ini, we don't know what to expect. Anything can happen. So, how do you prepare for that?
First of all, honestly speaking, we are not ready. Okay, we are not ready because you see, last year I hired someone, the basic was 1,002. All of a sudden, without a notice, become 1,500. And the best part, already I memang masa I offer kerja dia 1,500. So it wasn't affected that much for me, the 300, but it's okay. But the thing is, I heard a news that it's going to be 20% increase very soon. So we have to think about it. Because not only the, what we call that, gaji, but the things of things, like raw materials especially. Mm. Because when I build my confinement center, my contractors, yes, yang build the all the renovations asked me to get the things before 1st November itself, because all the raw materials are going to hike up. So sometimes we are not ready for it. That's what I meant. Maybe kita macam kita sudah agak okay, we have around okay 20 to 50k sufficient to build a business. Not really. To build a business, a physical business, by mean you need minimum 100k to 200k. So this is something to be in consideration. And apart from that, regarding in this economic crisis, I cannot say anything honestly speaking, because it's nothing with our hand. Even though we have our own plan, they are coming up with new rules. Sometimes we wanted to implement new rules in our company itself, but it won't be tally. So it's very challenging for upcoming entrepreneurs as well.
Ini satu isu yang selalu kita dengar apabila cakap tentang raw materials, yeah, atau harga barang yang kadang naik, kadang turun, kita tak boleh nak prepare. Bagi Aizat sendiri mungkin berbeza, ada ladang sendiri tapi at the same time masih perlukan kos untuk barang-barang lain. Memang pernah experience juga turun naik harga barang?
Yeah, definitely. Sekarang ni fertilizer, baja semua getting a lot expensive, and they can affect the cost of the whole product lah at the end of the day. And our goal, kita nak make the juice, make our fruits affordable, accessible to consumers, and we all are aware that we are going through a recession. So what we do to prevent this is kita try to cut cost and food wastage as much as we can, and we try to be creative with this. So kita try to collaborate. So since we are opening our juice bar, we contact our direct competitors, but they have like they order fruits also. So we say, do you want to order together so we can get a cheaper price? Because when you order wholesale, big quantity, you get a cheaper price. So by collaborating with our competitors, even our clients, we order together, all of us. So you get a cheaper price for the raw materials, and then you can offer a good price to the customer. Sebab kita tak nak naikkan harga for our customer. Let us be creative, let us collaborate and grow the market together first. Sebab market juice pun tak besar lagi, right? So let's collaborate. So that is the game plan for this year, to think outside the box on how to sustain and offer affordable price. If it means that kita kena collab with our competitor, it's okay lah. Like, as long as the consumers can reap the benefits of our product.
Naim, rasa macam mana kalau kita tengok 2 tahun lepas, 3 tahun lepas pandemik COVID-19 ni, banyak benda yang berlaku yang tak dijangkakan. 2023 ni mungkin ada cabaran-cabaran lain. Macam mana Naim nak prepare, nak siap sedia hadapi apa-apa cabaran yang berlaku?
Untuk cabaran 2023 ni, kalau kita tengok dari segi ekonomi, ialah harga barang mentah macam Aizat kata tadi, takkan turun. Tak pernah nampak pun turun setakat ni, walaupun dah tukar kerajaan pun. Tapi macam mana kita nak hadapi kos bahan mentah macam saya, daging, rempah ratus, gula kabur, santan apa semua kan. So macam mana kita nak hadapi ni? Kita kena hadapi dengan kita kena keluarkan production kita lagi banyak. So bila lagi banyak, untuk kos bahan mentah ni kiranya bolehlah cover. Walaupun contoh anda kata bahan mentah naik, tapi bila kita jual, production tak banyak. Bila production tak banyak, keluaran tak banyak, so kita akan mengeluh lah. Sebab tu kita kena cari solution lah, macam mana untuk tingkatkan lagi kuantiti, kualiti untuk hadapi bahan mentah yang akan naiklah isunya. Kalau dari segi ekonomi sekarang ni pun, kalau kita nak harapkan bantuan daripada kerajaan pun, kita nak kena pandai carilah bantuan. Salah satunya macam saya. Saya kat negeri Perak ni antara rapat-rapat dengan pengarah SME Corp, STEP, MARA. So dia orang ni ada sediakan platform gerai bantuan yang tak ada bayaran balik, tak ada bayaran balik, bantuan mesin ke apa ke. So dari situ kita kena perform lah dekat demo. Yang macam kita, selalunya demo akan tengok anak muda yang betul-betul berminat. Selalunya bila saya join, kebanyakannya banyak yang veteran lah. Tapi dia orang lagi prefer orang muda sebab orang muda dia masih panjang lagi jalan demo kan. So bila kita tunjuk proposal, file, kita present apa semua. So anda kata kalau produk yang kita present dia sungguh menjadi, dia orang nak melabuk, maksudnya kerajaan akan bagi kita dana nak buat satu benda tu supaya nampak kita punya hasil lah. Tak ada macam ada setengah macam sebelum-sebelum ni minta gerai, minta ni tapi mesej jual, ambil duit orang muda. Pergi enjoy. Itu salah satu salah lah kan. Tapi kalau ikutkan kerajaan,
dengar tu, boleh je. Enjoy, ya?
Boleh je nak tangkap demo, nak kenakan mahkamah. Tapi panjang cerita dia.
Yalah.
Tapi bila demo salurkan kepada yang yang dia, itu yang akan ada grup-grup usahawan negeri Perak macam saya, usahawan negeri Perak. So kita each other lah maksudnya. Ada bantuan dari segi ni, masing-masing rebut peluang. Tapi kita bersaing secara sihat lah kan. Untuk bagi sama-sama naik lah. Itulah antara perkongsian saya dulu.
Ya, menarik Naim ceritakan pasal banyak jenis sokongan dan geran yang ada sebenarnya di luar sana. Eric, I mean, you help with that, right?
Yeah,
trying to connect these entrepreneurs with the grants, the subsidies that are out there. Naim juga ada bercakap tentang cabaran, macam mana untuk bersiap sedia berdepan cabaran tahun 2023 yang tak menentu ni. For Eric, maybe your line of business is a bit different than the rest, right? Because you help entrepreneurs like them. So what do you see happening? What do you foresee happening in the next few months in 2023? And what kind of advice can you help share with some of these entrepreneurs to help them prepare for what's to come?
Okay, thank you for the question. There are a few things that we can do. One of the things is to look at the newspapers every day. So every day when I look at the newspaper, the economists always say that, hey, don't worry, because the Malaysia economy is okay. Okay? Don't worry, next year we'll get a lot more foreign direct investment FDI because we are in a very strategic location in the Asia countries. Okay? So they are very positive. But some of the economists also say that, hey, get ready because next year we have a very big impact in terms of economic crisis. And I always tell my buddies or my staff, I tell them that, hey, we need to be ready. So what I did for the company is we built a system. We invested 6 figures to build a system, which this system is to help the SMEs to apply for grants and subsidies whenever they are eligible. Because if next year is economic downturn, okay, SMEs need a lot more help than now. Need a lot more cash flow. Need a lot more grants to buy machines, to improve efficiency by building systems. So we built that system. And with this system, we believe that we can assist the SMEs, okay, to get the grants and funds on time. So just now, I also discussed with Darshan and said, hey, because he has a lot of business that, he has a number of businesses. So we said, hey, let's see what we can do so that get ready these businesses to face this financial downturn or economic downturn. So for ladies and gentlemen, because I know you are running your businesses, if possible, keep as much cash as possible. Yeah, if you can get a loan now, not 6 months later. So that's the advice that I can provide. Get as much cash as possible. Stop spending on those not necessary parts. And get ready for this impact. And if you need more more information about the grants and subsidies, first source that we can refer to is always the newspaper and the news. And then also the 2023 budget, which is going to be announced next month.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's a very good budget for all of us. Okay, the rakyat Malaysia.
You mentioned a very good point, the budget. Saya kira masing-masing ada harapan, ada aspirasi apa yang diorang nak dalam budget tu. But for Darshan, what do you want to see in the budget?
Okay, so thank you for the question. Personally for me, I feel that I think it's more like Kemahiran technical. so, more on skills, because now we have a lot of graduates with degrees and all that. But some of the jobs where we need combined on technical, more on physical things, for example, barbering, it's very difficult to get barbers today. So how are we going to get barbers? So I would think in the rural areas, if they're looking for job opportunities, I'm sure there can be an association in the barbering school in Malaysia to give us more training so that we can learn, we can get more barbers, give them a good job, give them a good place to stay. So I would think that that is very important for today's industry, where we get people to learn more. So if the government were to give at least some funding towards Kemahiran Technical, I think that will be one of the best things that can happen to Malaysians, actually. Whether if you're a B40 or T20, no matter what golongan are from or what category you're from, that will really help all of us. Even business owners, because we get more quality people to do the work.
Tadi Eric juga dia cakap banyak mengenai dengan grant, subsidi, dana yang ada sekarang ini, banyak loan yang ditawarkan. Bagi Farid sendiri, apabila Farid tubuhkan bisnes sendiri, ketika itu ada banyak tak sokongan?
Okay, generally memang banyak lah sebenarnya dekat luar sana kan, bila sembang dengan Eric kan. Cumanya untuk peniaga-peniaga PKS, macam saya lah khususnya kan, kita tak tahu benda tu ada sebenarnya. Mostly memang tak tahu, pakai duit sendiri je dulu. So bila dah start tu, kita dah jumpa orang yang lebih berpengalaman. So kita tanya dengan mereka lah kan. So mereka yang akan explain balik, pergi ke sini, pergi sini. Tapi untuk bantuan yang tu, betul lah seperti yang Naim katakan tadi, kebanyakan budak muda, orang Melayu lah khususnya, salah guna, dapat duit pergi spend untuk benda lain, bukan untuk expand punya bisnes. Itu yang saya perasan lah, termasuk saya sendiri waktu tu. Jadinya beri bantuan tu bagus, tapi macam mana nak gunakan duit yang dapat tu ke arah bisnes, macam mana nak expandkan ke arah bisnes. Kadang-kadang yang beri taklimat tu pun yang bukan directly terlibat dalam perniagaan. Jadi saya rasa lepas ni mungkin ada enhancement dekat situ lah. Contohnya macam ada player-player industri yang memang dah ada pengalaman, memberi tunjuk ajar macam mana nak managekan sumbangan dan juga bantuan yang diberikan tu.
Rubisha, when you started your business, were there a lot of funds? Were there a lot of support?
No. Okay. Because I started with my chain, my gold chain, my wedding chain. Because as I said before, not from family business. And surely, since sebelum ni daripada corporate, and suddenly we are into the business, for sure our family will be macam sudah shock. Are you serious going into the business? Are you going to survive? And the foremost question will be, do you know how to do business? So this is the first thing that they will be asking. So in regards of the model and the funding, so when I started, I have no choice. So, but the good part was my life partner. He's very supportive. He understand what am I going to do. You know, this is especially to a married woman. So this is where the biggest role plays. Because some women, they cannot go further because of the partner's lacking support.
Correct. Yeah. Same goes to men. If my wife don't support me, I'm like, oh, everywhere is stuck.
So emotional, moral support tu pun penting juga.
Yes, very important. Yes. Because end of the day, you are going back to the home. You're going to see that same face. Macam you tengok, pagi tengok duit. Balik tengok muka yang sama. So you get the additional support from the family.
Correct.
So that's where I get. Then also, even though my husband didn't study that much, but I can see his knowledge was bigger than mine. Even though I was a degree holder, I can see that dia macam, he's more like my business advisor. Oh. While sleeping, he will give me advices. You know, you should do this way. And that's where I can find the path actually. And also in regards of the fund, I started to do where I can do by less provide the less front from my end, whereby I can get the booking fee. For an example, customer is booking us, so I can use that as a fund. But as they all agreed, we should not have fun with that money. We should think. Masa I first start, I started to search supplier, but tak dapat because I wanted to go into the small cages like certain products we make our own for our client.
Yeah.
But later part, I use that money. Let's say I'm having a booking fee about 2,000. I don't waste that money. I take that money and to invest in another lump sum product so that I can get like cheaper price.
Bulk purchase.
Sorry?
You do bulk purchase after you have the money.
Yeah. Mm. So I can see that like a trade. So I get the money, I don't waste, I go into it. So that's where I can see the flow.
Okay. Yeah. So taking into account what you've went through the past few years and knowing what to or what not to expect for the next year, what do you want to see in the budget?
Budget. Being a woman, I want to see more help for the woman. Because every day I'm waking up with these messages. Can you lend me some cash? I'm having this kind of problems. Can you give me a job? But end of the day, they cannot commit because due to some other personal reasons, maybe they are unable to travel, they are unable to take money from their own pocket. Of course, as a boss, I cannot give money, ask them to come in for interview. They need to attend the interview first. But even when I ask them to do that thing, they say, "Sister, I'm sorry, I don't have money." So I hope this message will reach to our government. Because we are expecting, because just now he told that the message is not reaching everyone.
Yeah.
That's the main problem actually. Walaupun sekarang kita semua ada smartphone lah, Android lah, Apple lah. But we are thinking that, okay, we are already in technology. No, we are still in ruler. You know, the thing is not reaching people. Even myself, I would be, masa the grant thing, I didn't get the, even though like, you know, I'm educated. We will be thinking, oh, I'm educated, I know everything. No.
Yeah.
I was in a like mama shop. Then that one auntie, she's already like 50 years old. She came and said, "You should apply grant bula." I said, "What grant?" Then she said, "Oh, you must go to this link and apply, use your SSM." I said, okay, auntie, thanks for the information. So you see, sometimes.
Yeah, everyone knows.
Yeah, yes. That's the main thing. I hope in this budget, more help for B40 women.
Yeah.
At the same time, this woman who is having this help should not take it as a granted. I mean, for their own advantage. They must be thinking, you know, some people they earn, there's a saying, don't give the fish. Ask them, we need to teach them how to
fish.
Catch the fish so that they can learn the learn how to live the rest of our life.
Yeah.
So same thing goes to here. Maybe they can pantau. Okay, I give you this much fund. Okay, let's say I give you 1,000. What you did with the fund? Because sometimes we are giving like a derma. We can do anything because no one is going to pantau.
Yeah.
Maybe in they are giving the 8 at the same time they are going to pantau. For sure we'll be having a one of the fear so that okay government one day they will be coming and ask what you did with the money. So from here maybe the woman can start with something.
Yeah. Isaac, what about you? Your wish list for the budget? What do you want to see?
Okay, so for my in my industry, I feel like the biggest barrier to entry is money, because agriculture and also F&B, you need money, right? And I feel like a lot of grants is out there, but they tak market. I mean, we don't really know. Like, and also if we know, the process is very tedious. And I feel like I yakin the government or whoever in charge, they should invest more on the system. Not, sebab especially nowadays we need money now. We cannot wait. Like Arya ada cakap before. Like, if you have the opportunity, go for now. Like, don't wait later, right? So, bila the process is very tedious, orang akan get demotivated, especially Gen Z. Gen Z, they nak quick result. So, I'm not asking the whoever in charge to make it quick, like, fast, but a bit quicker, a bit more seamless. And, in a way, market more lah. Like, educate people, there's opportunity here, you don't need money. I feel like it's more if you know, like, it's not being shared,
tahu,
I don't know
for
what. So, yang tu one for agriculture. For F&B, again, I think Darsha had said this, maybe in the previous discussion before this shoot, kita ada cakap about training program. I feel like it's not the amount of the training program, it's the quality of the training program. Sometimes orang boleh buat banyak training program, but it's like wasting money because it's very like conservative punya style.
Yeah.
Now Gen Z nak, everything is for the gram, for social media. They need to make it more, like make it more fab, like
educational
and fun. They cannot be conservative, but the new generation, It's not like that anymore. So kita kena adapt to what, how they act, how what they want. So those two points is my what I'm expecting and hopefully we can get for 2023.
Bagi Naim, apa yang Naim nak lihat dalam bajet 2023 yang dapat bantu usahawan macam Naim?
Kalau untuk tengok bajet untuk bantu usahawan lah. Okay. Sebelum ni kalau kita tengok antara bajet kerajaan sediakan lebih kepada kalau tengok untuk PKS lah, kita ambil usahawan kecil ni kan. Untuk usahawan kecil ni, kerajaan kena nampak lebih detail untuk usahawan kecil. Kita tahu, bila kita usahawan kecil yang nak meniaga, kalau ikutkan FMB tak adalah modal sangat. Macam kita tak ada modal. So, kita nak kena keluar modal sendiri ataupun pinjam ke apa ke. Tapi kalau kita daripada family yang kaya, tak kisah pasal modal. Tapi kalau untuk orang muda ni, kalau nak meniaga pun, first kali yang paling penting pun untuk bajet, untuk kerajaan, tengok balik bajet untuk orang muda, dia memang kena kita kena nak meniaga kena ada SSM lah. SSM tu antara pintu utama kita untuk mana-mana platform kita nak dapatkan bajet daripada kerajaan. Tak kisahlah kerajaan sediakan bajet untuk kerajaan bagi pinjaman tanpa bayaran balik ke kan. Tapi kalau untuk kerajaan bagi bajet tu, kalau boleh untuk peniaga-peniaga kecil ni, kalau boleh kita kena sediakan dia pun khusus lah. Maksudnya macam training. Macam sebelum ni saya pernah training. Training ni lebih pada usahawan under SME Corp. Saya diberi sebanyak amount tu RM15,000 lah tanpa bayaran balik. Amount RM15,000 tu kalau ikutkan bagi saya dah kecil dah lah. Sebelum waktu tu saya dapat tu waktu umur 22 tahun kan. Waktu nak platform bermula kan. Tapi selama RM15,000 ni kerajaan tak boleh bagi macam tu saja. Dia mesti sediakan satu, macam saya ada camp, saya kena pergi camp tu selama 3 minggu. Tapi dia ajarlah. Camp tu dia ajar daripada macam mana nak jadi usahawan, berniaga dia panggil panel-panel macam Fizo Omar datang. panel-panel yang sini kan. Dia datang bagi talk sebanyak macam kerajaan sediakan setiap negeri, negeri Perak, semua negeri ada antara program-program. Dan program tu sampai sekarang pun masih berlangsung. Program tu tak salah saya dah tahun ni dah tahun ke-9 dah. Daripada tube 1 sampai tube 9 dah setiap tahun. Tapi lepas dia program tu, peniaga-peniaga lain pun masih each other. So kerajaan yang connect dengan usahawan-usahawan kecil ni masih pantau demo. So anda kata kalau demo ni bagus, tetap akan berikan bajet. Kita tengoklah bisnes apa, F&B ke, servis ke, macam-macam bisnes yang kita dapat connect untuk bajet tu lah.
For Eric, you mentioned a little bit about what you hope to see in the budget. What do you yourself want to see in the budget for businesses like yourself?
I want to see two things. One from the very macro level, which we cannot control, and another thing is something related to us. I think almost all of us mentioned about training. I do agree that training is very important, but I think in the budget, if they can add on a little bit about the training, first thing I would suggest is to record the trainings so that whenever we've forgotten already, we can go back and relook on the training. And also, example, if we hire accounting staff, no need, tak payahlah kami sendiri train kan. Terus bagi video, apa yang perlu diajar, ajarkan sahaja. Just look at the video. Then the second thing is, after the training, I think Naim mentioned about a very good thing, which is after the training, the bonding together with the together with the others who
the
attended the trainings together. After tracking, incentivize them based on their progresses. Okay, example, after I achieved 10,000 ringgit of sales and after I submitted my audited account, what is the incentive the government going to pay? Just tell everyone transparently. Transparency is something that I want to highlight here. Because many of us know, hey, government got grant, government got loan. But whenever we ask what is the criteria, they will say, oh, this is the qualifying criteria. After you submit, they will re-approve. They will read and approve. But very often, after they check, they either tell you, oh, the fund is running out after so many months of checking. Either they will tell you, oh, sorry, you are not eligible, but do not know for what reason. So just tell everyone transparently what is the criteria. If you meet the criteria, you get it approved. One very good example is from Matric. Matric has very good grants, which they tell you what to be submitted, what are the criteria, and if you meet, very high chance you will get approved. Okay? And from a very macro level, I hope that the government take care of our currency better.
Yeah.
Because no matter how hard we fight for talents, right? we just had a discussion with our relatives. They said, hey, after we spend so much, investing so much in education from the primary school, secondary school, tertiary education, and then after that, the talents, the real very good talents go overseas. It's like we feed the children until very big already, and then they suddenly go somewhere that we cannot find already. In fact, they should come back and serve the country. But after understanding the figures, right, we cannot blame. So if I were to suggest, I hope the government can play a more important role, a better role in controlling or making our Malaysian ringgit better. Okay. Otherwise, we pay 3,000 ringgit Malaysia. They pay 3,000 ringgit USD or SUD Singapore dollar. Normal people will go somewhere else. Okay, so from the macro level, I hope the government can take care of our currency. From a micro level, I hope that the government can spend the money at the right place. Don't keep spending the same training, one person trained enough lah. One person trained, maybe they can replay for 10 times. Don't need every time the same person go onto a screen or go into a class and say the same thing. Tak payah lah. Okay, make it more efficient. There are a lot more places we can use the fund. Yeah. Alright, that's what I want to see from the budget.
Yeah, big hopes, big wishes, banyak harapan, aspirasi yang telah pun dikongsikan apa yang mereka nak lihat dalam bajet 2023 kerana banyak cabaran sebenarnya bagi PKS. Ada cabaran yang mungkin lain macam sikit. Kemewahan tu pun susah.
Ya, betul. Jangan spend dulu.
Ya, jangan spend dulu.
Our cash reserve first.
Ya. Tentunya dengan mengambil kira tahun 2023, kita tak tahu apa nak dijangkakan. Mm-hmm. Tapi banyak juga tips-tips yang dikongsikan bagaimana untuk bersiap sedia berdepan dengan tahun yang penuh dengan cabaran. Tentunya, we're not out of the woods yet. Since the pandemic, we have to be prepared for what's to come. Terima kasih kepada semua sudi kongsikan pandangan dan pengalaman macam mana anda semua melalui tempoh-tempoh yang mencabar dalam 2-3 tahun yang lepas sejak 2017 dan sebagainya. Banyak pengajaran yang kita boleh ambil di sini daripada pengalaman semua. Terima kasih kepada semua dan banyak lagi sebenarnya kita nak kongsikan, tapi itu saja masa kita ada untuk dialog anak muda jam ini. Masing-masing kongsikan mengenai dengan pengalaman dan cabaran usahawan anak muda. Kita akan jumpa lagi dalam siri dialog anak muda yang akan datang. Itu saja jam ini bersama saya Naila Huda. Salam hormat.